I'm going to pick up here today. And let me just read a few scriptures that we've been meditating upon in these lessons. Proverbs 3, I'll read these. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So that means we have to acknowledge him, we have to seek him, we have to trust him from our heart and not our understanding. And that usually is where the dilemma is, I would say, or the growth is, that we trust God for some things, or we could say a lot of things, but some things we lean to our understanding, and we say, well, I know how to do this, so I don't have to trust him in all my ways. And so that means if we don't trust him in all our way, in all of our ways, that means he only directs us in part of our ways. Not he won't direct us in all of our ways if we're not trusting him in all of our ways. So that particular scripture, and I like some of the other modern translations, this is the Common English. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own intelligence. Yeah. Know him in all your paths, and he will keep your ways straight. The Good News Translation says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Wow. Never rely on what you think you know. Some of us think we know more than others, and we say so. I know. Right. I know what I'm talking about. That's what folks say. I know what I'm talking about. Really? Okay. But anyways, never rely on what you think you know. Didn't say that you don't know anything. It just says don't rely on it. Don't lean to your understanding. Doesn't say you shouldn't use your thinking, your understanding. But when you get it all done, you got to go before God. You got to say, okay, Lord, what should I do here? Not rely on what you think you know, because everything could look right. It could really look right. You say, but it looks right. It's on sale. It's on sale. It's on sale. So you think you know, and then you get it and go, I got what I paid for. He knows what you don't know. I mean, that could be just, I'm just making it funny. I mean, but that's the reality of where we are, you know. It just looks right, you know. And really, it may not be. We just need to look on the inside and trust him with all of our heart. And really, we'll make less and less mistakes and lose less and less money, have more and more peace about choices that we make when we trust him and look to him in all of our ways. And I'm beginning to find that between taking the time out, I think it was funny, I'm going to switch here a second, but somebody asked a question Wednesday night and said, is there a particular scripture verse? Now, this was somebody, I thought it was a good question, said, is there a particular scripture verse that can help us more than others in this area? And I said, well, if you find it, let me know. Because all of God's word is revelation and light to us. And then they said, well, how long is this going to take? I said, as long as you're in this earth. You're growing, you're learning, you're the word of God is being unfolded and revealed to you. So you're never going to get to the place where it's like, because then God will reveal something and you'll go, boy, I don't know nothing. I am tired. I'm a Ned in the first reader. And it's like, think about your growth as a child. You got to be a teenager and mom and daddy were dumb. You were so smart. And then some things happened and you grew and you made some mistakes and you grew up a little more and you go, wow, mom and dad weren't so dumb. I was the dumb one. And it's no different. We reach a place growth-wise spiritually and we think we know some things and then God will say, okay, get right on out there. And you start walking down life and you start making some choices and realize that you weren't so smart. And so it's life is a close parallel to natural life, to our spiritual life, that we're going to have to seek him in all our ways, be humble, keep your heart in the word, keep it clear, keep your heart clear, keep it tender towards God. And if there's anything that I can, you know, share today, and we're going to share some thoughts today, is maintaining your relationship with God. Don't get caught up in life. Don't get so busy that we don't have time to really fellowship with God. Because Jesus, if you look at him in his life, what was the primary thing that he did? He spent time alone. He spent time fellowshipping with his Father, and then out of that fellowship, he went out and began to minister. He knew what to do. He knew the choices to make. And it's no different. We're going to have to take time in our busyness, in our life, to fellowship and to maintain a living fellowship, a living communion with God. And if we don't, I'm talking to me too, because you can find yourself getting very, very, very busy with things. And if we don't, we'll come up short. We'll come up short in choices and things that we do. And God doesn't want us to do that. So he gives us some instructions. And I'll share this as we move forward here. Proverbs 20:27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So our spirit man is the place that God, his spirit, resides in. He resides in this heart of mine. And we were sharing on on Wednesday night that there's three ways that God leads us by his spirit. The primary way is the inward witness. And let's read these scriptures here. This is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verses 14, 15, and 16. Romans chapter 8. Says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, I'm reading from the King James Version. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, in the modern translation, say himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I'm going to read this from verse 14 from the Voice translation. It says, the Spirit of God is leading you, then take comfort in knowing you are his children. The New Century Version says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. So you have to let God's Spirit lead you, which then means, to me, when you let someone lead you and guide you, that means you have to have a mind to do that. You have to have a heart to do that, that I'm letting God lead me. Which means, as Brother Hagin used to say it another way, you need to be God inside minded. That means every part of your day, you have to be looking to Him to guide you and lead you. You have to be God inside minded, or we could say spiritually minded. Same thing. Let me read this. This is Romans 8:16. This is from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our own spirits that we are the children of God." The Weymouth translation says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness along with our own spirits to the fact that we are children of God." The World English Bible says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Knox translation says, "The Spirit Himself thus assures our spirit." And this is the Phillips translation. "The Spirit Himself endorses," I like this, listen to this. This says, "The Spirit Himself endorses our inward conviction that we are really the children of God." So that means your spirit, and we're going to touch on this, your spirit has a voice. Also your mind has a voice, and so does your body. If you didn't think so, when you got up it said, "I want that piece of pie," it has a voice. It wants things. So does your mind and your soul, and so does your heart. Your spirit, your conscience has a voice. And so this is saying here that the Holy Spirit assures or endorses our inward convictions. You see. So your heart is a good guide if it's been changed, if it's a new creature, and meditating on the Word of God. That's a good guide. And the Holy Spirit endorses that. He confirms or leads through your spirit, you see. The Amplified version says, "The Spirit Himself testifies together with our own spirit." The easy-to-read version says, "The Spirit Himself speaks to our spirits and makes us sure." So I read all of those. There's three ways that the Spirit of God leads us, directs us, guides us. The primary way is the inward witness, where your heart, we've said this in past lessons, the inward witness is not a voice. The inward witness is a knowing. How many of you, we just got done reading in Psalm 119, the entrance of His Word, the revelation, the unfolding of His Word does what? It brings light. What is light? Light is a knowing. It is not a voice. So, when the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, there's a knowing of something, and it affects your spirit, and it also will affect your soul, your mind. You've seen in countries where people have become born again, it changes what? The people, because now they're new creatures, but it also changes the development of those individuals. All of a sudden, they're creating things that people who are in darkness don't. They see things. They what? They know things. So the Spirit of God will unveil, reveal things, and an inward witness is a knowing. It is not a voice. So when we're led by the inward witness, we're not led by a voice. And when folks are saying, well, I hear voices, and you need to stop and find out why that person is always hearing voices. Didn't say that he doesn't lead us by the still small voice, because he does. But the primary way that Jesus said that he leads his children is by the inward witness. That's an inner knowing. That means how many have been reading their Bible and all of a sudden you know something that you didn't know before. That's an inner witness. Or you're going down and you just have this impression, I should go do this. That's an inner knowing. That's the inward witness. And most of us are being led that way, and we don't even, a lot of times, don't even realize it's God that's leading us. We just get up and we just say, you know, I think I need to go over here and do this today. Who was that? What was that something that prompted you to do that? You're a spirit. And the Holy Spirit in you will reveal, and your spirit will pick that up. See? That's the primary way. The other way is that there's the still small voice of our spirit that hears what the Holy Spirit is saying. See? So it's our spirit that's the still small voice. It's not the Holy Spirit speaking at that point. I'm going to make a point here in a second. It's your spirit that's speaking. But it's hearing and picking up what the Holy Spirit knows or is saying at that point. But it's the still small voice is your spirit. But it's still accurate in this sense. It's the Holy Spirit guiding and leading, speaking. It's the still small voice. He leads that way. And if you can take the time, you can read it yourself. If you go over to Romans 9:1, you can read that for yourself. My conscience. Let me just get over there. We can read that. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Whose conscience? Yours. Bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And I'm just going to get here in a moment because there's some other translations that... let me just get here. I'll read these. Just give me a second. But the still small voice is your conscience speaking, and it's being borne witness to by the Holy Spirit. The other, and I'll, as I'm getting those, the other way that the Holy Spirit leads us is by the Holy Spirit speaking. And when he speaks, it's an authoritative voice. It's not still. It's not a still small voice. It's an authoritative voice. And, you know, as people would say, how do you know when you're in love? You'll know. You'll know. How do you know when it's the Holy Spirit speaking? You'll know. One time I've had, that experience in my life where the Holy Spirit spoke authoritatively. And it was as if somebody was in my room. It was that loud. like that. He said, I will. And I said, okay. But it was authoritative, and it was something spoken about my life, that I will do this. But I realized it wasn't in the room, it was in me, inside. But it sounded like in the room, and that loud. You know the difference. And so, part of it has come to pass 25 years later. And I realize, Brother Hagin makes his comments, if you read any of his books, he said, when the Lord has spoken to him authoritatively like that, he said it's happened, but not many times, but he said, when he has, rough waters were ahead. That's what he said. He said, every time the Holy Spirit has spoken to him in that way, he said, rough waters were ahead. And he said that word kept him steady through the rough waters. And so I realized after many years that when the Lord spoke that to me by his Spirit, the beginning of it, not the fulfillment of it, but the beginning of it started 25 years after he spoke it. And so I went through some periods of ups and downs, and every time there was a moment where I wanted to throw the towel in and quit, the Holy Spirit would bring that back to my remembrance. And I'd say, I can't. He said he'd do it. I don't like this. I want to quit and give up, but I can't. He said he's going to do such and such, and I have to be faithful. And so I held steady. And so I realized that that is so, what Brother Hagin said. Now, am I looking for that? No, I didn't look for it. I didn't expect it to happen. And quite frankly, when it happened, I assumed some things and started making some plans to do some things, and they never worked out. So what his intent was, you just get busy in the ministry, start working and do some things, and in that process, you'll be trained, you see. But it took 25 years. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case in all cases. That happened to me. And I experienced the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking. And you'll know the difference between his voice, your still small voice of your spirit, and the inward witness, an inner knowing. Those are the three ways, and you'll know that. You'll know it. So those three things are important to know. You're led by the inward witness, we're led by the still small voice, and we're led by the Holy Spirit's voice. Now, let's turn over to John 15. I want us to look at this scripture, John 15, and let's look at the first few verses. I think this is important here, to be led by the Spirit, but I'm going to read this from the King James Version, the first seven verses in John 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he does what? He takes it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Most of us are in that stage. We bring forth some fruit, and we need to be what? Purged. so that we can do what? Bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now let's look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. So we're to abide in him. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it what? It abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I must stop here before I continue. Let me ask this question. It says you can do nothing without him. So does that also mean being led by the Spirit of God? You can't be led. If he says, for without me, you can do nothing, that means you can't know nothing, nothing. You can't know nothing, you can't do nothing. That means you have been given the paraclete, the helper, the comforter, the one that guides you. You can't do nothing without him. So that means, what's the prerequisite to being able to do something? You have to abide in him, and he in you. So in order to be led by the Spirit of God in a productive, fruitful way, we have to remain in him, abide in him. That's critical. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now I'm going to read a couple of modern translations or different translations that I think will help further expand these, shed a little more light. This is the Phillips translation. I am the real vine, my Father is the vine dresser. He removes any of my branches, isn't that interesting? Any of his branches, which are not bearing fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit to increase its yield. Now you have already been pruned by my words, you must go on growing in me. See, I like that. You must go on growing in him, and I will grow in you. For just as the branch cannot bear any fruit, now listen to this, unless it shares the life of the vine. We can't grow, and it says we can't bear any fruit unless we share in the life of the vine. So you can produce nothing unless you go on growing in me. That's important. I am the vine itself, and you are the branches. It is the man who shares my life and whose life I share who proves fruitful. So in order to prove fruitful in being led by the Spirit, we have to share in the life of the vine and he in us. What would we call that? Communion, fellowship. So it says, it is the man who shares my life and whose life I share who proves fruitful, for the plain fact is that apart from me, you can do nothing at all. Let me read this. This is the Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T. This is verse 4. And I think this is the thing that really kind of really nailed it home for me. It says in the Wuest translation, maintain a living communion with me and I with you. just as the branch is unable to be bearing fruit from itself as a source, unless it remains in a living union with the vine. So neither you, unless you maintain a living communion with me. So this life of being led by the Spirit of God is going to require a living communion with him. And you can see that in the life of Jesus, that after he communed with the Father, he would come down and minister to the multitudes. So we have to maintain this living communion with him. And when we do, we're going to know what to do. We're not going to bump around. It's going to become easier and easier. And I'm thinking about, you know, Brother Hagin would talk about people that, one in particular, he talked about this young businessman who was on his board. I think he's still on his board now, where he was a businessman and he wanted to make some investments, and his friends told him, invest in this. And he was hesitant, but he did it anyways because it was his business friends. Lost his money. And so he decided to get Brother Hagin's material on being led by the Spirit of God and immersed himself in that and meditated on that word and decided to go back again. And he said he had a very small amount of money left. I don't know if it was $50 or $500, whatever it was a small amount of money. And he said, I'm going to do what Brother Hagin said, and I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. And I was not comfortable to do what my friends told me, so I'm going to do what I originally wanted to do. And he started making money and money and money and money and became a multi-millionaire by following that inward witness. And when opportunities would come to invest, if he didn't have an inward witness, if he didn't have a green light, when we say a green light, a comfortable feeling, he would just say, you know what? He said, I need to check with somebody. And he'd get quiet for a couple of days until he had an inner knowing of what he should do. And he said he never went wrong. He never invested wrong and made millions following the Holy Spirit. And I'm really convinced that the same things would apply to us. We would make less mistakes. We wouldn't do things. We wouldn't take or make certain choices if we just would stop and maintain this living communion with him. And we just wait on the Lord. And I'm convinced of that. I know, you know, the choices that we have to make in the ministry, the times that we've missed it, nothing major, but the times when we should have maybe done this instead of this, those times usually is because you're busy or you trusted the other individual because they were deacons. I'm just using an example. But you understand my point. You're what I would call your inner circle. And you'd say, but I trusted them. And you're busy and you don't take time to listen. It could be, well, it was my husband. He knew. I trusted him, but all the while, something down here is going, something doesn't feel right. But you're like, I trusted him. He's my friend. He's my husband. He's my coworker. Whatever it is. You understand the same? I'm talking about the point. and we just trust who? What does Proverbs say? Trust in my husband? Trust in the deacons? Trust in who? See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. That's not the point. But sometimes we miss it because we trust somebody else. And all the while, there's this something, I was uneasy down here. I missed it. I should have stopped. Sorry. And I can tell you, that's what we've done. Sometimes we've got busy and we just said, yeah, okay. Rather than just stop, put the brakes on, and just wait. And go by that inner knowing. Now, sometimes, you know, you may end up butting heads over your choice because somebody will say, well, I ain't getting that. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not getting a clearance here. Something doesn't feel right. And that's all I'm really talking about, that if we can begin to, when we get into those situations where it's somebody else and they're right here and we just feel like something is an uneasiness, but you starting to make a choice, just stop. I'm learning, just like you are. We're in school. What does Pastor Judy say? We're in school. This is classroom. This is where we live. And sometimes those choices can mean the difference between life and death. Can be. You know, the Holy Spirit knows things that your head doesn't know. See, your head thinks it knows everything. But the Holy Spirit knows things, or let's say it another way, your heart knows things that your head doesn't know. Because you're a new creature. The Holy Spirit lives in there. He will reveal things in your heart that your head doesn't know. You can't know everything. You know everything up to this second. You don't know things in the future. He does. And he can reveal that and say, don't do that. Or, yeah, go ahead and do it. That's a good thing. You see. So I think, you know, if we say anything today in being led by the Spirit of God, it's that we want to maintain a living communion, a living fellowship, a working fellowship with the Spirit of God, with God. And what do we mean by that? What do we mean by a living communion? We mean taking some time out, praying the Spirit more. Take time out to praise and worship him during the day. Give him thanks. You know, somebody might say, well, I'm busy all the time. Well, if you're busy all the time and you don't have time to thank him, then your life may have a limited amount of fruit bearing in it. That's just the reality. And if we want to be successful in every area of our life, we are going to have to carve some time out to have fellowship with him. He has sent us his Spirit. He's living in us to help us. But if we don't look to him for help and we charge off, then we're going to end up with the results. You know, we may hit it one time and another time we're not. And so for us, as his children, which is what this said, we've got to let the Spirit of God lead us. That's what that scripture said. So, let me just close with this. First John 1:5, it says, These are the tidings that we have heard from him and now tell you. God is light and darkness has no place at all in him. If we say that we have communion with him, talking about a living communion, if we say that we have communion with him and yet continue to live in the darkness, we lie and are not living the truth. But if our lives are lived in the light, as God himself is in the light, we have communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. So our goal, our mandate is to have communion, a fellowship with him. Don't seek things, don't seek anything but him. And out of that fellowship, out of that communion, he will direct your life. He'll direct the affairs of your life. So for us, it's, you know, the noise, the volume of noise in our life, sometimes if we let it, can crowd out our fellowship with him. And I'm becoming more aware that that's of utmost importance, because I can't do it without him. That's what the scripture says. I can't be successful as a Christian without his help. He's going to have to, you know, it's out of this fellowship and communion with him that he strengthens me. He gives me the power to overcome the onslaught of things that come against us. And it's this, out of this fellowship, out of this communion, that the power of God is energized, and will help us. So I hope you see that today. I think sometimes we get busy. Not saying we all are, but I've found if we live in this earth and we live in this body, and we have things to do and so forth, Jesus obviously led by the Spirit of God to and empowered to speak these words must have known something about us so that he spoke those eternal words. So as we go through life, you know, let's begin, if we haven't, to just take additional time, whatever it is. If you've had no time, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Start there and begin to change your habits to have more time with him, more fellowship time with him. Pray in the Spirit more. Be more God inside minded about your choices and your fellowship with him, and your life will turn, it'll get better. It'll just get plain old better. You'll overcome. You know, it's you know, so often folks, they'll come and say, well, you know, I'm faced with this and this, what should I do? Well, if God doesn't reveal to us what you should do, then you need to go to him and ask him. And out of your fellowship with him, you'll know what to do. You'll know exactly what to do. You know, when a doctor says you have to do this, or this is the consequences, it's good to know and have peace about what you should do. Wouldn't it? I think it would be. It would be great to know that there's going to be an economic downturn and you know a year in advance so you could put some money away. It'd be great to know, wouldn't it? I think everybody would love to know that, right? But you see, if you hear Brother Hagin talk during their ministry, during his ministry, he said that the Holy Spirit told him before there was a big economic downturn at that time, this was years and years ago, that they started tightening their belts, and the Lord said, it's going to be tight for a couple of years. There's going to be a big economic downturn in the economy. tighten the belts, cut back, and put money in the bank. And so it was that money in the bank, when it did hit, they were okay. You see? But if you just keep cruising along, it could be to the detriment of that ministry. So it's out of that fellowship that we get direction. We get guidance. And so that guidance can come, as we shared before, that guidance can come from an inner witness, it can come from a still small voice, and it can come from the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit speaking. But all of that is going to be productive if we have a living communion and fellowship with Him, you see. And if you're busy, 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 and you don't have time, it's going to be difficult to hear His voice, you know. And I say the other thing also is that Brother Hagin said this, but I'm becoming more aware of this. When the Bible says, it gives us two things in Romans. It talks about the carnal nature, but it also talks about the spiritual nature, doesn't it? It talks about those two natures. When your body gets tired and you're running, 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 and your body gets physically tired, how many feel spiritual? That's what I thought. None of you. See, you just had enough. You want to lay down. And you need to rest this body. And so sometimes we get ourselves too tired physically, and we can't hear Him because we're just exhausted, you see. And so sometimes there's just some practical things that we have to consider that, you know, if we are too physically tired, sometimes our spiritual sensitivity is affected. And Brother Hagin used to say this years and years ago. When he was ministering, he would run himself just almost to the point of being ragged, doing meeting, 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 and putting out, putting out, putting out, putting out. And the Lord told him, no, I don't want you to do that anymore, because it affects your spiritual sensitivity. It can. And a lot of cases it does. So you're not, I'll just say it this way, you're not as effective. You're not as effective when you're physically tired, spiritually. I know for years when we were singing with the choir, when Pastor Clinton was alive, we used to have choir rehearsal on Thursdays. And folks would be dragging through the door like this. They'd be just dragging in like this, coming up on the buses out of the city. And then he wants us to sing. Give it all you got. I want to hear some notes. Push, push. I'm about ready to fall over. And because of that, we sometimes weren't in pitch. Our pitch was off. We're not singing right on pitch and on the notes. We're singing under the note, or we're a little above the note, and it frustrated him. And after a while, he'd just say, okay, I'll get what I get. And come Sunday morning, everybody's rested, everybody's fresh. He'd go, bing, and the notes were like, boom. Everybody hit it. Because everybody was fresh. They were rested. And the same thing applies spiritually. When we're tired, when we're not rested, see, it can affect your spiritual sensitivity. So we have to make time to be quiet. We have to make time to hear Him. hear his voice, hear the still small voice of our spirit. It's a good God. Sometimes I know for me personally, sometimes by midnight, 1 o'clock, I'm just about getting one foot in front of the other, and the next step is over into the bed. But what's interesting is that when I'm physically tired and physically just to the end of my, you know, engine here, so to speak, it's not that I can't hear him, but it's more difficult to hear his voice clearly. You're just tired. But I know for me, when I'm waking up early in the morning, when I'm rested, I hear my spirit clear. I can hear this inside very clear. Or during the day when I let things just quiet down and I get quiet, I hear my spirit. You see. So we have to find places where we can have what? Fellowship. Fellowship with him, so that we can get clear direction in life. Amen? I hope that helps a little bit. Brother Hagin used to say, either say, oh my, or oh me, one or the other. But it's so anyhow. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. If there's a question or you have a question on something, you know, I'll open the floor if you have a question. If not, as they say, we'll move on. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Because I heard this, is this on? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I heard you share this on Wednesday night, and I'm hearing it this morning,
right.
I'm hearing more.
Okay.
My question is this. In the area when you talked about the Holy Spirit speaking in an authoritative voice, I was looking in the scripture at Acts chapter 13, if you turn there.
Yes, and while you're doing that, you turn to Acts 13, and thank you for reminding that, because there's another scripture. You can turn to Acts 13, but also while you're doing that, there's a scripture I didn't share, 1 Samuel 3.
Okay, okay. You want to share that first?
I can share that. Okay. Let's go to 1 Samuel 3. And you can read the story here about Samuel and Eli. And you can look at that story. We don't have to read all of it, but you can see here where... First Samuel chapter 3, and this is in light of the Spirit of God speaking authoritatively, or in other words, him just speaking. When he speaks, it is authoritative. Chapter 3, and it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord." Doesn't say he was busy doing something else, running up and down the streets of wherever he was. He was ministering unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called. Who did? The Lord called. Who did? The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." So he heard a voice. He heard something. And he ran unto Eli. So he must have heard something, oh, I call it demonstrative, loud, somebody speaking. Eli, Samuel. See, that's not a still small voice. And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived, see, he did what? He perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. So the Lord spoke, it was audible. See, that was the scripture we were going to use. Yes, sir.
And Pastor, it dovetailed into this, because that's why I had that question this morning, because as I was running the reference in Acts chapter 13,
right,
in the beginning at verse 1, it says, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon, and that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up in with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now look at verse 2.
Yeah.
And as they ministered to the Lord and they fasted.
And they did the same thing that Samuel was doing.
And it says here, the Holy Ghost said.
Yeah.
Now, that's the question that I have here, because I've always looked at this in two ways. The Holy Ghost said, did he say it in an audible, authoritative voice that all of them heard, because there was people there in this assembly? Or did the Holy Ghost speak through one of them as a prophet or whatever, speak and say, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them? So my question is this, going into the lesson, that's why I'm asking this. The Holy Ghost said, with Samuel's case, the Holy Ghost, God was speaking to Samuel as an individual, and Eli had to tell him, right? But in Acts chapter 13, what was the case here? Was that an authoritative voice that was spoken that they all heard?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say, when I say authoritative,
right,
they all heard it.
Right.
And they heard it where? In here.
Their spirits, right.
They heard it in their spirit, but it had to have sounded. Mm-hmm. Well, and the reason here, it said here, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, right, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius mm-hmm. of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered unto the Lord. Now, the they, in this case, it has to infer Barnabas and Simeon.
Yeah, and all of them, yeah.
Yep. It doesn't say who the other. It says certain prophets and teachers as.
Right.
So there were others. But it also says, as they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed. So they all had to, well, let's put it this way. It doesn't say if they all heard. So we're going to have to make an assumption here that they all heard, because it doesn't say they all heard.
And in line with the lesson this morning,
they heard
that way?
They had to have heard that way. This was not, it doesn't say, I think what it doesn't say is, I perceive.
Right.
It doesn't say that.
Right.
It says, the Holy Ghost said.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When Paul said, I perceive that this voyage will be with much harm. He did not say, the Holy Ghost told me.
Right.
He said, I perceive. This says, the Holy Ghost said. It doesn't say, I perceive. So now I'm going to make an assumption here, without, and again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but in other passages where it talks about I perceive. Or we can go over here and look at just the beginning of the book of Luke in the chapter 1, when it talks about in verse 3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So it seemed good. Didn't say the Holy Ghost told him to write. This here said, the Holy Ghost said. So I'm going to say, I would say yes. It was the Holy Ghost speaking, and when he speaks, it's not your spirit speaking. It's not the still, small voice, which is what? Your spirit speaking. So I'm going to have to say yes. The answer would be yes. Now, who heard it? We don't know. In this case, whether it was all of them, some of them, we don't know. Now, when it does say they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, so, you know, again, I think to answer your question, was it the authoritative voice? I'm going to have to say yes. I would say yes, it is.
Pastor, I wanted to, something came up as we were speaking. The part of the confession that we make over the ministry of giving, the Holy Ghost said, and if you correct me if I'm wrong, you, Pastor Sarah, and Pastor Greg got that all individually. It wasn't a corporate setting.
No.
You got it in your spirit.
Correct.
Pastor Sarah got it in her
Correct.
Spirit.
Correct.
Pastor Greg. And it was not your spirit. It was the Holy Ghost
no.
that spoke.
No.
That's what I'm
okay.
saying.
Okay, I'm going to ask. I'm going to clear this.
Okay.
What came to me was a knowing.
Okay.
It was right. like I'm sitting at my desk, and after a while you know what who the Holy Spirit is. Who's speaking and who's not.
Okay.
When thoughts come, let me ask you this question. When thoughts come to you and it's a knowing of something, in other words, he said, my sheep know my voice and another's they will not follow.
Right.
So after a while, when revelation comes, do you know it came from the Spirit of God? Most of you do, right? So, when thoughts come, when an impression comes, the inward witness is an inward knowing. I didn't hear my spirit, still small voice, say, believe for $80,000 a week. I didn't hear that. It was a knowing. It was the thought, you need to believe for $80,000 a week. I sat on that for a while because I thought, okay, well, let me just sit on this. And then I was impressed to share it with Pastor Sarah, and she said, yep, I got the same thing. And Pastor Greg, when we talked with him, he said, yep, I got the same thing. We did not discuss it amongst ourselves. But for me, it was a knowing, an enlightenment, a revelation, a thought, however you want to put that, that came, you need to do this. Now, the devil is not going to have you believe for $80,000 a week. and it's not for me, it's for the ministry. So when those kind of thoughts come, you need to check this, do this, I know it's from the Lord. And so that, for me, was an inward witness, an inner knowing. I don't know if that helps.
Sidebar. Because what I'm saying is this, is that when we, as the people are saying, you're saying you're instructed by the Lord, the Holy Ghost said.
He did.
Okay.
Well, I see what your point is.
I'm trying to put it in the context of the yeah. teaching that you just gave us.
But see, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit leads us in three different ways. He leads us by the inward witness, and now I see your point. You're saying, but he did tell us, but it was through the inward witness.
Yeah.
Say, yeah. Yeah, he does tell us to do things. He shows us what to do. He tells us what to do, and he does that either through the inward witness. He does that through the still small voice, which is our spirit speaking what he hears the Holy Spirit say. Then there's the authority. When he speaks, there's an authoritative voice. And guidance comes. See, and here's the thing. Let me ask this question. How much faith does it take when you hear an authoritative voice? Not much. I'm telling you, when you hear it, you're like, okay, all right now. But what happens is it didn't take any faith, but I can tell you one thing. When you start walking through some rough waters, it's going to take some faith. It's going to take a lot of faith because you're going to want to quit. And the storm is so strong that you feel it, taste it, I'm out of here, I'm quitting. But this word was so strong that you don't forget it. It's emblazoned in you. It's imprinted in your heart. You'd go to your deathbed saying, you don't forget it. And he'll bring it back and say, what did I tell you? Did I not say I will do this? And you'd have to say, yes, you did. So then why did you quit? And you'd have to come up with a good reason to the master. And ain't none. Did none. So the still small voice, your spirit, I'm going to say it this way, that in the inward witness, inner knowing, it's going to take a little faith. Was that God? Was that not God? And after the fellowship, if we spend more time in fellowship with him, we'll know. You'll be absolutely sure it was him. I use this example for me. When Pastor Sarah was going through these rough waters here, it was before the stroke. She was walking through some issues, and I've gotten a little more light since then, but there was a spiritual attack upon her. It manifested in some, you know, in what we would call psychological issues and all of this, but it was just darkness. It was a devilish attack. And I remember waking up early in the morning. It had been on my heart and my mind going to bed. And it was troubling my heart because I was saying, okay, Lord, is this her season? Is this the time? What should we prepare for her passing? It was weighing on me, on my heart. And I remember waking up early in the morning, just quiet, and I heard my spirit down here, real quiet, say, just like this, the best days are yet to come. Just in a sweet voice, the best days are yet to come for Pastor Sarah, you, Pastor Greg, and the ministry and Redeeming Love Christian Center. And I got happy. It lifted that. I said, all right. But after that, it was like another 2 years of hell. Because then right after that, it's like boom, 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 boom. Stroke. And then it looked, she didn't want to live. She wouldn't listen to us. We're talking. My spirit's uncomfortable. I'm saying, she ain't saying something. You just look and there was nobody there. This no life in the eyes. I said, she don't want to live. But she wasn't saying anything. And so Pastor Greg and I, we're just really just crying out to God. God, we need your help. She not responding. And within 2 weeks, and it's actually less than that, because when we're walking through this and we get a call from the Hagans, like, okay, they want to see us. And you know, your first thought is, yeah, right. The Hagans, they want to see us for what? They don't know us. They know Pastor Sarah. And we're busy. And we said, nah, we can't go. Pastor Greg didn't want to go. He said, I'm busy. I'm not going up there by myself. So I said one day, I said, Pastor Greg, I think you need to reconsider your no. Why? I said, well, that wasn't just Joe the plumber that called us. That was the Hagans that called us. And I said, I think we need to reconsider our no. And it was like, all right, let's go. So we all piled up into the car. We get up there and we walk in. It was a little sanctuary, a little bigger than this. We're coming. We were in the front. We're walking into the back. There's Brother Hagan. He grabs us and he yanks us and pulls us down on the seat. He says, all right, boys, what's going on? And don't tell me what you tell everybody else. And we said, well, we'll tell you what we know. We're not comfortable. And so it was out of those meetings, one of the meetings, I was sitting in the hotel talking with Rose, and she said, yep, Mom don't want to live. I said, there it is. I said, when were you going to tell us? And so, you know, we talked with the Hagans and so forth and so on. A week after that, or maybe 2 weeks, Pastor Judy showed up. Said the Holy Ghost woke her up. 3 o'clock in the morning, told her to start writing this and come and share it with Sarah. That's what she said. The Holy Ghost told her, said, go share it with her. And she called us from the restaurant crying, saying, I'm going to live now. God doesn't want me to die. You guys have been telling me all along, but I wouldn't listen. And so I said, I don't care if it came from a donkey. It didn't matter to me as long as she was got the light. She wasn't going to receive it from us, so what? But she got the freedom she needed, you see. And when Reverend Marty told me, see, these are things that because we are kind of like, you know, RLCC, we kind of stay in our little, I don't want to say clique. It's not, that's the wrong word, but our little camp. Reverend Marty told me this, Black Welder, when he was here, we were having lunch. He said, in 2008, there was a lot of attacks in the body of Christ on ministers. I said, really? He said, yep, all over. Now, how would you know that? He travels a lot. He has a wider view of everything. He said a lot of ministers got taken out, and he said a lot of them didn't make it. He said there was a big onslaught against ministers. So he, you know, again, when we talked, he had been talking to Pastor Sarah. See, these are ministers. They know her. She knows him. We've known Marty since he played with the Hagan band years ago. I mean, 30 years. I've known him at least that long. He was an ordained minister. He just played in the band. I've known him that long. And so there was that friendship. He called just out of concern. I didn't know he was speaking with her, but others were. But you see, that's why I'm saying that God, if anybody thinks for one microsecond that God's hand isn't on his ministry, you're a dodo. I'll just be honest with you. Because God's hand not only was upon Pastor Sarah and Clinton as the shepherds during that time, but as they move on, he's put us in place. But I can tell you, I sometimes step back and go, whew, God, what you're doing? This, he's going to get all of the praise and no one, because at the end of the day, when it looked like it's going down the tubes, he brings in somebody, has a word over here, lifts us up, brings the money in. So you can't claim any credit, not one ounce of credit, Nobody. It's his doing. And if we just maintain fellowship with him, we'll walk right through it. No, you know, burnt smoke. We won't get touched with the stuff. We'll walk through it. And the same thing, if he's ordained a household, I'm telling you, households may go through stuff, but if he's ordained it, you just stay steady. You stay steady, and you'll walk right through it. You'll get through it. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through some stuff, but if he's put his stamp, what does that say in 1 Corinthians? Everything, every promise of God is stamped with the yes of Jesus. So when there's a stamp of approval on your life, he gonna make it work if you just listen and obey. For sure. Till he calls us home. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, that was a good lesson today. I think we all learned a little something, right? Feed upon the word. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship around your word, enlightened by your spirit, strengthening us, Father, so we can go out and be a light unto this earth and these the people that don't know you. And Father, even the ones that do, we can be a light, a shining light. And we thank you, Father, that this area that you've placed us in is being impacted by our lives in this ministry. And we thank you for it. We believe for souls in this area, believe for hearts to be changed and renewed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. Well, just before we dismiss, let's just say this. The word that I've heard is working by his Spirit mightily in me. I hear his voice clearly, and I obey. And I thank you that he directs the affairs of my life by the inward witness, by the still small voice of my spirit. And I thank you also for the voice of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit directing me also. And I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.